I'm Sophia Paris, and I'm here with Denis Uvarov. He is a Russian political dissident who came to Saipan looking for a safer place to live. Denis, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, too.
Let's start off by talking about why you came to Saipan.
Because me and my wife need protection and asylum of Russian government.
Why were you afraid of the Russian government?
Because in Russia I was engaged in political activity, and I told my political opinion, and Russian government doesn't like it.
Okay. So you came to Saipan fearing that you would be put in prison otherwise, or what were you afraid of happening to you?
Prison, and they can even kill me without court decision.
Okay. And when did you come to Saipan?
In November 2017.
November 2017. Okay. And when you got here, what problems did you run into?
Problem that we found out that Saipan doesn't consider application for political asylum.
But Guam does, right?
Yes.
And anywhere else in the mainland does, yes. Right? So where did that leave you? Were you able to work, for example?
No, we not qualified for anything.
What do you mean, anything?
We cannot work. We need just wait, because one good person helped us to submit another status through ICE, but it takes a time, and we don't know how much time. Maybe 1 year, maybe two, maybe five, maybe 10, maybe 50.
This is to wait for your refugee status, or?
I think this is like status like withholding of removal.
Right. I spoke to some lawyers about that, the withholding of removal status.
Yes, and we need to wait immigration court.
Yeah, you have to be like within the process of being deported in order to be able to get that status, right?
Yes.
Are you in the process of being deported?
Yes.
Okay. So now you're just waiting to see if the judge will grant you.
Yes.
In the meantime, I mean, it's been a year and a half or so, right? So what has life been like for you on Saipan?
We got trouble because we have nothing and we can nothing do. Mm-hmm. Even we cannot provide ourselves because we don't have work permission, because we are not qualified for work permission, and we are not qualified for any other help from government.
So you couldn't get food stamps, for example,
no.
Or Medicaid,
no.
Or anything like that?
No.
So you can't go back to Russia?
No.
Right? Can you travel to Guam or another place in the United States?
No.
Why?
Because if I in this process, I just can go to another country, but not in American territory.
Gotcha. So the way the laws were set out, you're in the process of being deported, but you're in the system, and you're following laws, and you're seeking asylum.
Yes.
But you have no way of actually supporting yourself or keeping yourself safe, basically.
Yes.
Okay. So let's talk about Typhoon Yutu. Where were you during Typhoon Yutu?
We rented a small apartment in San Antonio, and Typhoon destroyed this apartment when we were there.
Okay, so how did you rent that apartment?
Because in Russia, we were not poor people. We had some savings.
Okay, so you were living off your savings for the first, like, year or so.
Yes.
And then the typhoon destroyed your apartment.
Yes, and blew away some of our stuff and our credit cards. Mm-hmm. And before typhoon, we had small. After typhoon, we have nothing.
Gotcha. Where have you been living since the typhoon?
We went to the shelter first in San Vicente School. Mm-hmm. This is our first shelter. Then we were in Tanapak, second shelter, and the last 2 months or 6 weeks we were staying in Kagman shelter.
Got And Kagmin Emergency Shelter, that's put on by the Sinomite government and FEMA and Red Cross, right? Those are like the three supporters of that shelter.
I don't know exactly who.
Okay. So you told me something that I found very worrisome a few days ago about that shelter. Do you want to share that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Let people know, because they closed the shelter on Friday, two days ago, and just kicked out us on the pavement, because they knew that we don't have work, don't have work permission, don't have place to stay. Mm-hmm. They knew about this, but they don't care, because we are illegals, and I don't know, this island doesn't like immigrants or refugee, unfortunately.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like there's anyone making sure that you all are taken care of. I think what I find most disturbing about your story is that there's this space that's created for political dissidents who think that they can find some kind of safe place to live in the United States, that it's a place where political refugees are welcome. They come to Saipan, maybe, I mean, in your case, you and Natalia rushed to Saipan, right?
Yes.
It was a very quick move. You were like fleeing, right?
Yes.
So these people come to Saipan seeking security and protection and political freedom, because that's what America has been about, at least, you know, that's like part of the image. And then the local community finds that these people who came here thinking that they could work and make a living are totally, they have no right to, they're totally disempowered. They have no way of making a living. And now, none of us want for there to be political dissidents who are living on the street in our community. That helps no one. That hurts everyone, you know? And I'm really sorry to hear that this happened to you and Natalia. But I'm really thankful that you came on the show to share this, because there are more people like you here, I know for a fact. What do you think the right solution would be?
Because when we were in shelter, for months we asked administration, maybe they can make a request to immigration services and expedite our process. Mm-hmm. They did nothing. They just don't want to help us. I don't know why.
I think that hurts everyone, and it's very cold. I'm really sorry to hear that that's how you were treated.
This is not your blame.
Well, I think as a community, we do need to start talking about this more and start talking about it with our political representatives and take it into our hands for there to be a pathway for people who mistakenly come to Saipan thinking that they can get help. You know, we should at least make it obvious that they can't. If that's the case. My understanding is that the reason you can apply for asylum in Guam and the rest of the U.S. and not here is because the CNMI wanted to make it possible for tourists to come here without a visa.
Yes.
Right? And then in order to control for people that would stay here, they said, but you can't apply for asylum if you come to Saipan.
Yes, this is very tricky, but this is not honestly.
I think there needs to be more understanding of the rules here, or maybe a rethinking of them.
Because I don't understand why local laws don't correspond to American laws, don't correspond to Declaration of Human Rights, how it's possible.
I think there's a lot of confusing aspects there. There's one, the fact that technically the CNMI is supposedly sovereign, and just in a treaty with the United States, and that's how the CNMI became American, with the covenant. But since the covenant signing, it's been very confusing whether the CNMI counts as America or not. Sometimes it does, sometimes
but
it doesn't.
In Declaration of Human Rights, all parts of any country, regardless of their status, must follow convention. There is in writing convention.
Are you talking about like the United Nations?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that is a really good point, and that even if we were on the mainland, unfortunately, I think people like you and Natalia would be having trouble. I've spoken to a few immigration lawyers on the island, and they said, particularly with this current administration, refugee applications are going, I mean, they're just being denied, or it's like the fewest amount of refugees are being allowed in the country in a long, long time.
Yes, but on the mainland, after 150 days, mm-hmm. You can work, you can provide yourself, but here not.
Here you can never work. Yeah. See, it just seems like you're driving people to crime, you're driving people to desperate situations when you create a situation like that.
Yes.
So I'm disturbed to hear about that. What are you and Natalia going to do now?
We don't know. We need to find a place with roof, but actually we don't know. Because we 15 months, we can nothing do.
Mm-hmm. So, can you tell me a little bit more about how this makes you feel about America?
Yes, I'm very disappointed. Because when I was in Russia, I fought with Putin. I always supported American policy, American international policy. And a lot of people called me a traitor. Go in your America if you don't like Russia, you don't like Putin. And now I'm in America, and what I see? Mm-hmm. Almost same like in Russia.
How is it similar to Russia?
Similar irresponsible officials who doesn't do anything, only get paycheck and doesn't care about anything. Because when we spoke to any officials, we just heard two things. Mm-hmm. You are not qualified for anything, or we are not authorized to do for you anything. Mm-hmm. Go to another official or go to Caridad or Salvation Army and go to your friends, let they help you. But if Caridad help me, Salvation Army, my friends will help me, what will you do? Only get a salary?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand this situation.
Who have you spoken to on island? What agencies have you gone to?
USCIS, ICE, FEMA. And FEMA and immigration system is one agency. We just asked, maybe you can send request to speed up our process.
Mm-hmm.
No, we cannot. Communicate with these officials without attorney is absolutely senseless.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to wish you the best of luck. I know that you're facing a really terrible situation, but my hope is that we can at least spread some knowledge about the situation that political refugees can get into here in Saipan. And hopefully this conversation will spur some kind of change, or at least tell people about this problem. So thank you for offering your perspective and being so open.
Thank you. I worry not about only me. I worry about all the situation, because I know a lot of people also look for protection here and get nothing, get only suffering.
Yeah, thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you.